Welcome back to our, this is our 20th episode actually. So this is our last episode of our second season.
Neat.
And yeah, we have two guests with us today. And they're here to talk about something really special that they've started. But they will have time to introduce themselves later on, but we can do a short little check-in to see how everyone is doing. And I know you guys are on summer break, so you guys can like give a little check-in of like your week, like one good thing, one bad thing.
Oh, so I can go first. Yesterday I did two volunteering sessions with my organization, and we did a netball session and an English session, and that was one thing, like fun thing I did in summer. And
Actually, no, I don't know why I asked a bad thing. That's
Oh,
you don't have to answer that.
okay, like yeah, and we're starting IB next year. That might be a bad thing.
Oh.
And can you tell the audience whose this voice is?
Oh, I'm Karita, yeah.
Me.
Okay, so I'm Zabrina, and one good thing about this week is that my grandma from Toronto came back to Hong Kong to visit.
Oh.
So yeah, I haven't seen her in 2 or 3 years because of COVID, so I'm pretty happy about that. And maybe one bad thing for us is that the weather last week in Hong Kong was really bad. I think there was like thunderstorms and typhoons last week.
I heard about that. How about you, Summer?
So, well, I feel like we just recorded our last episode yesterday, so nothing much has happened. But I could think of one very special thing is Hong Kong won a gold medal
And silver
Oh
today.
yeah.
Oh
And a
yeah.
silver
And
today in the
silver.
Olympics. And I'm really
Yes.
proud and excited and happy for Hong Kong. And the bad thing, I guess. Today, I had to do laundry, and I really hate doing laundry. Yeah,
Fair.
that's it.
Yes. I'm trying to think too. I finished a K-drama series called Itaewon
Oh,
Class, and it's really
it's
good.
on Netflix.
It is, yeah. So I just finished that. One bad thing. Not much. I feel like it's kind of, oh, I guess it's really hot here in California, but it's always hot, and hot weather just makes me not. Yeah, but it's nothing as bad as Hong Kong for sure. Like every year I'm back in Hong Kong in the summer is just unbearable. But yeah, cool. Thanks for participating in our little check-in. But yeah, so every like episode we have this thing we do called this or that. So we like have two options and we kind of choose which one is our favorite. It's like a little fun like thing we do every week. So this week's one is egg waffle versus like waffle, like gacai bang, like gacai versus gacai bang.
I know which one
I don't
Sabrina's
know
gonna
what the
choose.
English is it.
But to like our American listeners, I guess egg waffle is like the one that looks like little bubbles, and I don't think we have like the waffle here, but in Hong Kong it's basically like a kind of like a sandwich, but it's like a waffle and there's like condensed milk and peanut butter and peanut sauce in it. So yeah, that's the difference. Do you guys have your pick?
Yes. So personally, I like egg waffles, but I know Sabrina's gonna like the peanut butter filled one.
Gacai bang.
Nice. How about you, Summer?
I'm gonna pick the waffle, like the waffle sandwich with peanut butter filling, because first of all, I really love peanut butter, and also I just love like how the waffles soak up all the like peanut butter. And it's like a little soggy, and then when you bite into it, like the little like butter just like spilled into your mouth, and I just think it's so yummy.
Oh my gosh. Love that. Yeah, I like egg waffle because I don't know, it's so good. My favorite place in Hong Kong for egg waffle is actually Bat Gok Kai Ran Zai, I think. It's
Oh,
not like the one with
that's
all
so
the
good.
flavors, but it's like the traditional one. I haven't had it in so long. But yes, we have an even split.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So,
So if you guys want to introduce yourselves now.
yeah.
do you want to go first?
Okay. So I'm Sabrina. I'm 15 years old this year, and then I am going to year 12, and I study in Chinese International School in Hong Kong. And I've been to Diocesan Girls' School, which is local school with Karita, in before year 11. So like we spent 9 years there, and then a first year last year, and then 2 more years at CIS before we go to college. And one of the things I've been doing like recently during the pandemic is that I've been into baking a lot. So
Ooh.
There was one point where I was so obsessed with baking where I baked a baked good every day, and there was too much baked good at my home, and
Oh my
I had to
gosh.
give them out.
Oh.
At yeah.
Is that why you had the bake sale?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Nice.
So I'm Karita. I'm born and raised in Hong Kong. And I'm a rising year 12 and also in Chinese International School, as Sabrina mentioned. And some of my hobbies and passions include netball and singing. And I don't think a lot of Americans know what netball is, but it's basically a British slash Australian, like the Commonwealth nations sport. And yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Also, I know that you both switched from DGS, which is a local school, to Chinese International School. Is there a reason why you guys decided to make that switch?
Okay, for me, it was my parents' decision because they wanted me to do IB, because they wanted me to study overseas, which I think it's easier if you have the IB diploma, where DGS, they only offer DSE, which is like the local exam thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they also offer A-levels, but they want me to do IB.
Fair.
So for me, I feel like local schools are more structured, and it's actually very, like, structured. And I don't think many students are suited to this, like, rigid learning style. And I'm one of those students. And I think CIS's, like, IB curriculum allows room for me to like explore my other interests. Like if I were in DGS, I wouldn't be able to do a lot of volunteering like I'm doing now, for example. And so it's also more challenging, and I can pursue my own extracurriculars outside of academics. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you know each other in DGS too?
Yeah.
Aw. So cute. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So let's talk about your organization.
So you both are the founders of Inquisitive Minds. So what prompted you to start the organization at the very beginning?
So I guess online learning was a lot more common in COVID. And we also did a lot of online tutoring for school services. And we thought like there wasn't a lot of flexibility for school services. So we started our own. And basically, the major difference was like it was a lot more flexible for other students, and it involves like a larger group. And yeah, that's basically what prompted us.
So what is the main thing that your program does?
Online, like one-on-one tutoring. Yeah.
And what type of students do you tutor?
Like underprivileged students. Basically, we're targeting the Sham Shui Po area. So yeah. And we're also having like in-person summer programs now, and also like as Sabrina mentioned, a bake sale. Yeah.
What like, I guess, goals do you have for your organization, and like where do you see it going in the next few years? Is it gonna be like, because I know you are doing this with a lot of other schools as well. So do you want to continue, like have other people continue it, or do you guys like are planning to be in charge of it, like even after you guys graduate?
I definitely still want to be in charge of the organization, and like maybe in the few years we definitely want to expand Inquisitive Minds. Maybe we could like collab with band 2 or band 3 schools in Hong Kong to reach more underprivileged kids, or we could even collab with more prestigious schools to recruit more student tutors. So currently we have a few school chapters in CIS, Renaissance College, and West Island School in Hong Kong, where like there are tutors in the school where they recruit more tutors. So that's basically how we try to expand our organization. And I have one more idea where we could maybe host more programs, like our summer program, because the summer programs were super popular. We had like around 100 kids signing up for each program, which was really overwhelming for us. Like we didn't expect that at all.
Wow.
So maybe we could host more programs, such as like targeting primary 6 students to develop their interview skills for getting into high school, like something like that.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys like get the word out and stuff?
I think we kind of asked around if our friends would be interested, because that's kind of like, you know, how we started. It's always with friends, you know, and we asked like different friends from like our previous school, and also I have friends from netball like outside of school. So we started as a small group, and then it kind of like just referred to other people, and like a lot of people did it, so we started this organization. It was kind of like that.
And did you guys partner with, because I know you said you work with the some like Shamsherpur area. Did you partner with any organizations there, or how did you guys, I guess, get in contact with the children that you guys are tutoring?
I think at first it was a form for students and a form for tutors. And we found like there was a risk and a problem is that like we couldn't ensure the privacy of our tutors. And it's really unsafe, especially like everything is online. So you don't know who's behind the camera. It might not be like an actual student. So a way to solve that was we connected with a lot of organizations, and SOCO was one of them, and we found them really reliable. That's why we kind of like went on with them. Yeah.
And they basically just connect you with the students.
What we do is kind of like, you know, a Tinder for tutoring, but not really, because we don't want to like just pair you up with someone and then just leave you. But we kind of follow up with every student and tutor every like bi-monthly or
That's so cool.
And I think what's really cool about like your program is how you mentioned like you will connect band one students to like maybe band two and band three students, because I feel like there's often like this kind of like, we're gonna talk about it later, like school segregation, where like band one students are all like they're friends with each other, like a community, but there's like, I think there's a lot of like misunderstanding and a divide between like the different banding too. So I think it's really cool that you're providing that bridge between the different bandings.
Yeah. And do you think like, I mean, you guys are talking about how also local schools are very rigid, right? Like their education system and their like way of studying too. Are you guys like using a different approach when it comes to tutoring your students versus like the traditional like tutoring, do all these papers and memorize all these things?
For our tutoring sessions, we try to like provide homework guidance. So these kids, they usually struggle with their homework from school, so we don't provide any additional homework for them. So to make sure that this program is not really too stressful for them and they're actually having fun learning with us. And we try to read like online storybooks with them and maybe teach them some basic English communication skills, because I feel like these kids, maybe around 80% of them, they join our program because they want to like boost their English skills, since most of these kids, they don't really know like the basics of English, like even the vowels and consonants, they didn't really know about these stuff. So I feel like it's really important to educate them on like how to communicate in English and like, yeah, develop these basic skills in life.
Yeah, English is so important in Hong Kong and in Asia just in general. And I don't know if you guys feel like this, but do you think English is privilege and like a sign of like prestige or a sign of being more well educated?
I do think it's like a necessary skill that you must have. Not must, but like it's a very important skill, if you put it that way, because you can basically communicate in a lot of like other countries, and like it's something that you want to have compared to a lot of like other languages. English is one of the more important ones, I guess.
And I know that your organization kind of targets the issue of education disparity. Can you guys give like a definition or like your understanding of what education disparity is?
And how does it look like in Hong Kong?
I feel like the disparity in Hong Kong is pretty, like, not even just in the aspect of education, but also in a lot of other aspects. But for education disparity, I feel like it's an like unequal distribution of resources. And you see that a lot in Hong Kong, especially with comparison and banding and everything. For example, you see how band three schools are a lot more, like, underprivileged than band one schools in terms of like resources or like facilities and everything like that.
Do you see, I guess from your observation of like working with the students that you're tutoring, do you see how that's different? Like, how, I guess language is one thing, right? Like they don't have they can't speak fluent English, but do you observe other things that reflects this educational disparity?
I think their mindset and mentality as well, because I feel like some of them feel like they will never achieve better scores no matter how they try. And especially with this like Chinese saying, I don't know if you've heard of it before, like gang dry hey pao scene. I think they all feel like they've like lost in the very beginning, because they don't have enough, like the adequate amount of resources, and they find it really challenging. So I feel like the mindset also plays a big part, and yeah, affects mm-hmm. them a lot in the long run.
Yeah.
I feel like the education inequality in Hong Kong kind of also reflects like the economic gap between band one versus band two and three schools, because when the kids Zoom us, they usually use their phones or like really like bad quality tablets to Zoom us. But in contrast to maybe our student tutors, which comes from like band one prestigious schools, they use their like Apple laptops and MacBooks. So I think that this kind of reflects the economic gap we have in Hong Kong as well.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, it definitely reflects the larger like system and injustice within class too. So yeah, I we were talking about like the separation of the different bands of schools. And for listeners who I guess don't know what banding is, it's basically like a hierarchy, I guess, of prestigious versus like not as well known schools, but then with that comes more resources obviously for higher banding schools and less. And it's usually, well, I know that like how Hong Kong separates their schools in terms of the school net, like based on location, especially for local schools, right? Like you have to live in that area to be able to apply to those schools. And this causes like a lot of classism, but also just like school segregation, because like wealthier people obviously can afford to like live in like an area with better schools. And I guess that's like how it started, like in the beginning, how students or how the system is setting it up for like this stark separation in people like being able to receive like the best education versus those who can't.
And I feel like it's also kind of like a vicious cycle too, like how Sabrina also mentioned, like a lot of the students who are from lower socioeconomic background, like when it comes to COVID, their ability to learn well like really took the biggest hit, because like when I feel like a lot of times we take free Wi-Fi or like unlimited data for granted, but for a lot of like the lower socioeconomic background students, those are really luxury for them. I remember like I was seeing some like documentaries about like Hong Kong students who are from lower income family, and like they literally have like 5 gigabytes of data available like every month, and that can like run out very quickly, and they can't even like attend classes or even be able to pay attention in class. Yeah, there's just so many factors that plays into the education disparity in Hong Kong. And I feel like if people are saying that like education is the ticket to social mobility, then how are these students going to achieve a certain education level because they don't have the resources to do so?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, like when did you guys want to like play a role in like making change with an education disparity, or like when do you guys realize that like, oh wow, this is like a huge issue in Hong Kong? Because like growing up in Hong Kong, I didn't really know people who like really cared about social justice, and I'm not sure if that's just because I was in a bubble, probably. But yeah, no one around me like took direct action. Like maybe there were volunteer like opportunities, but not like people taking action in such like a, I don't know what the word is, but in such like a active way like you guys are. So I'm just curious, like when you guys realized the importance of playing a role in improving this like gap.
I guess as I just mentioned, we both did online like volunteer tutoring, and I guess that's also because we have a CAS requirement at our school that requires us to actually reach out and volunteer. At first it was kind of like that, like fulfilling a requirement, and then after doing more of it, I feel like it's also a form of empowerment for those kids. And we wanted to do more than just like fulfill this requirement. And that's why, that's when we started to have this mindset of making a change and actually, you know, taking action and actually wanting to contribute more to this problem and to solving this problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool that you guys are doing this. And I think that Hong Kong actually, well, I know that like in 1997, like when Hong Kong was returned to China, Hong Kong adopted a medium of instruction policy that requires most schools to use Chinese as the teaching medium, at least local schools. I don't think international schools were a thing back then, or as like prominent back then. No, definitely they were a thing, but I don't think they were as prominent. And then I think the education department said that only 30% of secondary local schools, I guess, could go to English teaching schools. So it was like a very small portion of students who was at, who would actually be able to learn English and like speak English to learn like chemistry or biology and other subjects like that. And I guess this also like showed or revealed like the class status with that comes with English and English as a language. And so I guess like, do you guys have any thoughts or comments or seen this play out?
I feel like in international schools, like obviously the students are much more fluent in English. And I feel like English is a language. This allows them to like maybe connect with friends and like get into overseas universities, like especially the US or the UK, which are more prestigious. And this kind of reflects how like international school students have the privilege to like upgrade and get into prestigious universities compared to maybe local students. They have to stay in Hong Kong and they have no choice but to like communicate in Cantonese and like do the local stuff. So also in our students, most of them are like really not fluent in English. So for example, if we speak to them in full sentences in English, they can't really understand that. So we have to like go back to the basics and teach them maybe like pronouns or like I, they, she, them, or like basic grammar and like vocabulary. So yeah, I feel like English definitely reflects social class.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting when you were saying that, because I remember I had to learn in school like pronouns and like verbs and all that, like the structures of English as well. And at the time, like, I didn't really like comprehend that because I grew up learning English and I didn't really understand like why this was important, like learning the ings or like the past participle stuff. And I think it was until I was older and I reflect on it that like it's such a privilege to grow up knowing English that I didn't have to like study like the formation of English technically, because for me in my brain I would just be like, oh, this sounds right, I'm just gonna put it in. And that's because I grew up with like people around me speaking in English. So I definitely made me reflect on like how English is such a privilege at a young age, and that I didn't come to realize until I was older as well. But yeah, what your comment just made me think of that.
Like for me, I think that it's also a stereotype that school fees have kind of ingrained into people's minds, because in Hong Kong, English-speaking schools, the school fees of English-speaking schools are significantly higher than like local, maybe like band, even in band one, they're separated into like more prestigious English-speaking schools and ones that are less. And I feel like the school fees also reflect that, which also creates, you know, the prestige that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you guys are definitely through tutoring are contributing to changing this system of injustice as well. And what do you think like people who are not involved in your program can do, or people your age, or just like anyone actually, like can and should do to contribute to changing this or improving education disparity?
If you can't join our organization, or like even if you're not able to directly help those in like these circumstances, maybe we would like these people to still be aware and like still support these underprivileged children however possible. So we actually have a bake sale where All the proceeds will be donated to SoCo, which targets to help the underprivileged children in Hong Kong. So yeah, I think that we can all contribute to bringing education equality to these children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And I feel like awareness is also the first step because as you just mentioned, this bubble that more privileged kids probably live in, I don't think they even know how there is a group of people that is actually suffering from education disparity. So I feel like awareness is always the first step. And once you're aware, things will, you know, fall into place and people will actually help, like maybe like us, or maybe if they can't contribute time, or, you know, they can still, you know, spread the word and spread awareness. And that's really like more than enough, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen like a, I guess, difference in mindset within like your friends and people who have been participating in your program as well in terms of their awareness when it comes to education disparity?
Definitely. I feel like people actually become more aware of the problem when they actually see it and when they actually, you know, tutor these kids, you know, and they actually spend time with them and empower them, they actually, it kind of impacts on themselves as well. And how making an, you know, how it, making an impact can actually help other people. That's one of the biggest takeaways that they can have joining us as tutors, I feel like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so beautiful because I actually, like when I was in university, I also like did tutoring as I guess like my service or my volunteering. And I don't know how long you guys have been with these students, but I guess tutored my students for around like 2-ish years. And so you really see them grow and you really see not just like, I guess not difference that I'm making, because I think I was only tutoring them for like 2 years and that doesn't make, you know, it's not going to change their lives, but I think I really appreciated the relationships that I was able to build with them. And even though they might not remember me anymore because it was a while ago, I think I definitely learned more than them. Like, I'm sure your students are learning so much from you, but I'm sure like you guys are also learning a lot from them as well. Like, it's such a two-way exchange when it comes to working with kids. Yeah, I don't know if you guys feel that way.
Yeah, definitely. The sense of satisfaction and like seeing them, you know, benefit from what you have, like honestly, that's a great feeling as well. And it has also made a great impact, especially when me and Sabrina we received these voice memos from kids thanking us. We also, you know, we found that really cute, and you know, yeah, we felt like happy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I actually have a question for you all. So I feel like you talk about how like when you're in local school, you feel like the curriculum is a lot more rigid than international school. And I feel like part of the reason why there's such a big educational disparity among different classes in Hong Kong is also because of how difficult and rigid the curriculum is, because it's almost like so the curriculum is so intense that it's impossible for the kids to be able to understand just by learning from class and not getting any tutoring outside of class. So I just want to like ask about like what was your experience between like transitioning from like local school to like international school, and what are your thoughts on the two different curriculum and how can they inform each other?
I feel like back in DGS, it was very memorization based. So everything I did was probably just memorization. And my mindset was, oh, if you memorize this and you get good grades, it's basically a strong positive correlation between the two. But then CIS, I kind of like, it's a lot more tailored to me as a person, and hence it's more challenging, and it's more suited to also like my interests and skills, and I can explore both at the same time, like extracurriculars and academics, while also like maintaining a really strong core of study. And I feel like that's the major difference.
And I feel like the education in international schools, they really challenge your critical thinking. So they give you something to like analyze, and then give your, like, they'll tell you to give your opinion on this, like, for example, English article or passage. And for local schools, because they kind of like dump a lot of knowledge to us, and like some are really difficult, so most students need tutors to like maybe explain this outside school. And these tutors, they also give lots of homework. So like, for example, I'm pretty sure you've heard of Kumon. They give lots of homework, which I absolutely hated. Yeah. So yeah.
Are you guys like going to tutoring lessons now that you've switched to international school, or did you guys like go to tutoring lessons when you were in DGS as well?
For me personally, I went to quite a lot of tutoring classes back in DGS, and it's significantly less now. And in year 11, I went to none almost. And but now, like, when we're starting IB, we're like, it's getting a, like, for during the summer for preparation, it's starting to get slowly, incrementally more, but then it's still not comparable to the days at DGS where I went to tutorial sessions every single day. And and also I feel like it's also the mindset, because back in local school, I feel like everybody hated studying, even the what you call like hot baths, they all hated studying. Like everything, once thought that studying was kind of like a chore, because like the kind of everyone's thought that. That's why, I mean, it was so bad for us, like in terms of mindset. But in international schools, nobody ever thinks that. I feel like everyone thinks that studying and learning is an interest more than a chore, as opposed to a chore. So that kind of changed a lot as well. Yeah.
And I feel like international schools, they value like all-rounded students compared to local schools, which they mainly focus on academics. So I think that's one of the reasons why like everyone needs tutors, and they really want to achieve the good grades. So for international schools, we have more time to like pursue other passions, and like music, sports, and arts. So I feel like, yeah, I think I prefer international schools over local schools, because we get to like enjoy things like even outside academics.
Yeah, that just reminded me of when I was studying in local school. I left after form four, so I was still like studying pretty intensely back then. And I remember like there were certain things that people would do to would show people that you're studying, like sleeping on the, I don't know if you guys did that when you were in school, but I like would sleep in like my study room floor, or like not on my bed, so then I would wake up earlier on time the next morning to like continue memorizing. And yeah, just like when we're talking about tutoring and in general for local schools, it's such a system now, and it's such a profit making like industry, because there are so many tutor celebrities. And I think I personally went to one of the Chinese tutors as well back in like form four, and honestly, like, it was not worth the price. I felt like I didn't learn much, or maybe I wasn't paying attention, but it just like was not, yeah, not worth the money and like the celebrity status. Like, I'm sure he's smart, and I'm sure, like, I don't know, it's just so rigid and so like tailored to one kind of personality. So maybe that's why I like it didn't work for me. But yeah, tutoring is such a privilege, like especially now looking at you guys tutoring these kids who like can't afford to go to tutors. It just really puts into perspective like how I would take tutoring like for granted, just like, oh yeah, everybody goes to tutoring growing up, it's not like anything special. But yeah, so it really puts it into perspective when I think about it like that. Yeah, did you go to tutor somewhere?
Yeah, I did. But I didn't go to the like celebrity tutors. I'm trying to think. Oh, so I had Kumon for like, I think I went to Kumon for like 6 years. And I did not like that. Yeah, I really did not like that. But then I think for me, like I had a private tutor, which was also a very privileged thing to have. And yeah, I think back then, like, honestly, when you were talking about like memorization, it just reminded me of like how I used to, I would like literally like copy the whole textbook and try to like memorize everything word by word. And when you like, when you I write an essay, quote unquote an essay, I basically just like recite everything and write everything from the textbook and not actually digesting the information. So I think it was very interesting to like hear about like your experiences at international school too, because I've gone to local school my entire life. And like hearing that like you find like studying fun, I think it's like a very interesting thing to me, because I'm like, well like until I come to the US, I think I found it more enjoyable now than before. But yeah, I think it's just a very like sad thing, like why can't like the public school system curriculum be more like the international school, where they focus more on like a well-rounded personality. Yeah, that just makes you think about like the education system in Hong Kong. It's really sad. Yeah
it's so extreme. There's no like middle ground between the two, I feel like. I just remember trying to study Chinese history, and I hate Chinese history, but I would memorize everything, and then when I would do the test, I would forget how to write the words. So, like, I, what was the point?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess one other question is that what is one thing that you want people who are listening to this, I guess from the US or from Hong Kong who are listening to this, what is one thing that you would like them to take away from this episode, and about the education system, about education disparity, about your program? Like, what is one thing that you want people to remember?
I want them to remember that this problem, like about everything we've discussed, not necessarily everything, but just remember that this problem exists and that you can make a difference as well, even though it might be really small. Maybe like just by spreading awareness, you can help a lot.
And yeah, I feel like education should be like a fundamental human right that everyone is born with, but like under like adverse economic situations, some in poverty are left with like no choice but to give up their education path and jeopardize many opportunities. So I feel like it's really important to spread awareness about this issue. And also, we target underprivileged children because we think that like a good quality education can bring these kids who are like financially less fortunate out of poverty. So yeah, able to like access to a good quality education is really crucial for poverty reduction. So that's one thing I'd like our audience to take note of.
I guess also I'm just curious and I want to know, but what is like your favorite moment in starting your program and interacting with the kids?
My favorite thing about like our program is seeing the smiles of our children's faces when like they have fun from our programs, especially like the summer ones where they get to explore stuff out of academics. So for example, arts and netball. I think that it's really rewarding to see that these kids benefit from our programs and that they had fun.
For me, actually it was a very recent moment. It was yesterday, and this kid remembered me from this kid in Nepal remembered me from a previous like session, an English session I think, and she remembered me and she called my name, because I didn't realize that, you know, kids will actually remember me after, even after the session. And we actually talked a bit, you know, like just played around for a bit, and I realized that, you know, this student tutor thing isn't like, is actually beyond student tutor. And yeah, I find that really cool, and it's quite a memorable moment to me. Yeah,
I'm so glad. Like, yeah, it's so important, and especially when it comes to traditional tutoring too, I feel like having that relationship with your students is so important, and I think that should be normalized in Hong Kong instead of this like, you know, celebrity tutor.
Yeah, I know.
You can't even see their face for celebrity tutors. Some of them, you just watch video classes. You don't even know.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, my school used to have fun fairs, like, in the summer, where, like, it's, like, an open house thing and everyone could come and there would be stalls for people to play, like, the class, like, students would set up. And then the celebrity tutors would come and everyone would want to take a picture with them. I'm like, but what is going on? It's such like a Hong Kong specific thing. But yeah, they are. But yeah, so what like events do you guys have coming up that if like Hong Kong listeners are listening to, they can go to?
Our bake sale, which is ongoing. So basically if you get cookies on our Google form, we'll contact you and we can deliver them to your nearest MTR. Yeah. And our summer programs as well, which is which extends till the mid-August before we start school. Yeah. And if you're interested, you can help with that as well. Yeah.
Yes. And where can they find you or how can they apply?
You can apply through our Instagram. We have like QR codes you can scan and fill out the form. So our Instagram is at inquisitiveminds.hk. So yeah, you can check out our page.
Yeah, and you can just send us a DM. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Remember to follow them on social media and volunteer and participate if you would, and follow them if you're not from Hong Kong and you just want to learn more. And you guys post a lot of like educational posts too on top of your program. So I just think this is really cool that you guys are doing this. And we really need more people to do this. So props to you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And I hope the rest of the summer programs go well. I hope more people join. And yeah, I guess that's it. That's at the end of this episode. Yeah, learn more about education disparity because it's such an important issue that is not talked about. And you guys are paving the way for that conversation. So, yeah. Cool. Thanks for coming on. Do you want to plug the Instagram again?
Oh, it's at Inquisitive Minds HK.
Yeah, go follow us.
Go follow them. Yes, and go follow us on Instagram. Okay, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for all the audience who stuck through our season 2. We'll see you all in season 3.
This is the end. Yeah. See you all in season 3. Oh. Bye.